Good morning, everyone. I want to greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I enjoyed the service so far, especially our Sunday school class. And when I'm usually, I'm not sure if I ever said this before, but whenever I'm studying for a message, I choose not to look at the Sunday school lesson so it doesn't influence what God has for me to preach on. And it does sort of go hand in hand, but I would have been okay if the Sunday school class would have went continued instead of this. So I just want to commit this message to God. John prayed that, forget how he said about that I'm able to preach in a way you can understand, and that is a fear sometimes of, that I may have, that I get through studying and I'm like, hopefully this makes sense to everyone. But I want to commit that to God, that you hear what you need to hear and what he has for you. This morning I'm excited to be serving a living God that cares and takes personal interest in whatever, what every one of us is doing and going through. A God that we serve also wants us to have a personal relationship with us. But too many times we are filling our lives with things that steal the place and push God out of the spot in our lives. And sometimes it's those good things, we say, oh, it's all good things, it's things of God, things of whatever, but are we filling our lives so full that we're not able to experience the true relationship with God? You all here today did not have a choice whether or not you were born into this world. But you did have a choice if you were going to come here this morning. And it's a blessing to see you all here. To make that choice to come worship God this morning. I do also want to just thank the visitors for coming, because otherwise we would have had a very slim crowd this morning. I was telling the boys we probably won't have much more than 30, and I was glad to see our attendance back up. So thank you all. But we find ourselves living in a society that from a God's perspective is broken and is filled with brokenness, fear, and lack of trust, anxiety of the past and anxiety of the future. Fear of others, and is filled with the frantic search of something to comfort that pain and something to fill the void of not knowing the future and where things are headed. We may say that I'm sure glad that we're not filled with the fear and unknowns that the world is filled with. But are we? Are we free from the fear? In the studying for this message, I start to realize that I am far from perfect. And that I have as much or more room to grow as anyone here this morning. This morning I'm going to ask a few personal questions, and I'm not looking for a raise of hands unless you really feel that you need to raise the hands. So, but looking at I raise these questions for you to ponder. And I encourage you to be real with yourself. Because if I am never real with myself, I will forever be masking myself the very thing that is tripping me up from being victorious? Are you fearful of the future? Are you afraid of what others are think of you? Do you struggle with trust? Do you feel others are out to get you? Do you feel that you have been taken advantage of? Do you feel that you have been a burden? Maybe you don't feel that you can measure up to your brothers or your sisters. Do you feel that your life is out of control? Do you struggle with being victorious? Or maybe you struggle with what they call being a control freak. It goes both ways. Do you feel that you're not worth anything? All these things I listed will cause unrest in our day-to-day living. And most of all, it will cause our walk with our Lord to go dim. Message title this morning is Resting in God's Goodness. This morning, I'm not sure what you all are feeling and what you may all be struggling with within your heart. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm happy to tell you that we have a God that is bigger than all of our problems. And sometimes we get in the trap that saying, you know what, my problems are so huge, I'm not sure what to deal with it. And I felt a little bit that way this week. In my studies Friday night, and I'll just share a little of my experience, I got to a point I felt a little stuck, and I felt I had a real problem. Because I was expected to be up front here and share this morning, and I had very little. It was a very clear night. And I went out, and I sat on the deck for a while. It was fairly late in the night. It's all quiet, crystal clear. And I sat there and looked up at the stars for a while, and I will say if you sit there and you feel that your problems are huge, I encourage you to do that for a while. As a way of making your problem look very small. If God can go and hang the stars in the sky, just to stay there, millions and millions of miles apart, if He can do that, how easily can He can take care of your own little problems? Sometimes we think they're this huge situation, but yet you're only a little speck in the whole realm of the universe. Matthew, I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Matthew 11. I invite you to turn there if you want. This is Matthew 11:28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We see there in verse 28, it says, come. It's an invitation. It says, come unto me. It doesn't say just to consider me. but it says to come. It's an invitation to experience a relationship with our Lord. Our Lord is calling everyone, but especially is calling the ones that are burdened down with the cares of this life. You could say it's the ones that are barely keeping their heads above water and trying hard to do life on their own. It's the ones that are feeling like they're drowning. It's the ones that are overwhelmed by the daily grind of family life and daily life. And it says the ones that are heavy laden, your problems that you're struggling with may seem like they are about to consume you, and that there's no way out of the problem that you're in. But our Lord promises, if only we cast our burdens at the cross, He will, without doubt, lift you up and carry your load. But you'll have to let down 100% of it. Too many times it gets us out of our comfort zone, would you say, just to give everything over to God. We feel out of control. Tend to make you uncomfortable. Because maybe it makes you feel uncomfortable because you're losing your identity, would you say, when giving it all up. So you try to hang on to a little bit of your ways. But there's no option. It's all in or not at all. Let's turn to Psalms 34. Read the first few verses there. Psalms 34:1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear therefore and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O taste and see that the Lord is good. There's two parts, focusing on that last verse there. It says there's parts. There's tasting and there's seeing. You can look at it. I'm going to take something that you probably all like. And if you don't like it yet, it's not necessarily just strange. It's just have different tastes. But let's take a candy bar for an example. Just seeing it, it looks good. But if you never eat one, you never know the true sweetness of that chocolate bar. But if you take a bite, it becomes a whole other dimension of knowing the goodness of the candy bar. And not just see, and you're not just going from sight. You're experiencing the whole dimension of it. God is calling you and I to come and taste of His goodness. He is saying, don't look only upon me and say that, look, God is good. But he is saying to come experience the living relationship that you can have with me. Come enjoy the goodness I have to offer you. He is saying, come and lay down your burden, because only then you can experience a true walk with our Lord. Sometimes we can sit here in church and hear all the good things that God has done and or will do for us. And by the time we're halfway home, it seems like we forget it. We are a short-sighted people. At least I am. That we can easily forget the bigger picture. So what is the goodness that he is calling us to experience? Psalms 145, 17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and is holy in all his works." God's goodness doesn't mean that he overlooks sin, but his goodness demands justice. He is holy. He will not compromise truth to make us comfortable. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and not just some of them, but all. God's goodness is unchanging. The world around us is unstable. One of the greatest comforts is that God does not change. His goodness is consistent. He's not kind today and harsh tomorrow. He does not withdraw his mercies when we stumble, but he remains faithful when we're faithless. Because God's goodness is unchanging, we can trust in him with all our lives, all our joys, and all of our trials. We do not have fear tomorrow, because the same God who provided yesterday is still good today. You think of the seasons that come and go. Spring, summer, and winter, fall and winter. They come and go. The sun still rises. God's goodness is like the sunrise, steady, faithful, and sure. God's goodness is merciful. Psalms 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." His mercy isn't just there as something to bribe you into following him. But it's there every day, all day, following you all the days of your life. It isn't there just to get you started. It isn't there to just to get you to following him. But the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Another aspect of God's goodness is he has special interest in every one of you. Studying for this message, I considered Job and what Job has as far as what he experienced is the goodness of God. I'm going to just read a couple of verses from Job 10:8. It says, "Thine hand have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay. Wilt thou bring me unto dust again? Hast thou not poured out me out as milk, and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinew. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and now has visitation within and preserved my soul. God had formed Job with a purpose. Job recognized that he was not just an accident. God had made him with his own hands. God allowed Job to have everything. Then have everything taken away from us, from him. And sometimes it feels like God has taken everything from us. But yet God spared Job's life. God preserved his life because he had a special interest in Job's life. And he had a plan for him. God preserved Job because he had a relationship and a plan for him in the future. Today, if you feel that God... Today, if you feel that life has been taken from you because of the load that one of you are called to bear, whether it's an overwhelming job or you name it, you know what you're facing. Just remember, like Job, God has a special interest in your life. And has brought that into your life for a reason. Maybe you're struggling with why in the world am I even placing this earth? God has a purpose for you. Sometimes I wonder if we struggle to see God's purpose in our life. Because we're not fully surrendered. Am I not committing it all to God? Or am I struggling to see God's plan for my life because I'm fearful of what He may ask me to do? God's goodness is a refuge. Nehemiah 1:7 says, "The Lord is good and stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trusteth in him." All around us is filled with violence, disease, and confusion. We need a place of safety. And God's goodness is that place. He doesn't promise a life without trouble, but he promises it to be. One thing he promised to be is with you and I. He doesn't promise an easy path, but he promises to take our hand and lead us through it. Are you weary? Run to him. Are you burdened? Rest in his arms. His goodness is not just for the strong, but it's for the broken, the hurt, the hurting, the seeking. A frightened child runs to his parents, but not because they understand the problem. But they trust the parents' care. So we come to our Father because we can trust in Him. God's goodness is a place that we can find rest, peace, mercy, belonging, acceptance, and rest from the cares of this life. And when we look at all the blessings of the committed life to Him, I wonder why I still struggle. We barely scratch the surface on all the goodness, and it's so convincing that we want all that God has to offer, but yet I can still struggle in finding rest in it all. But just look at a few hindrances to the rest, in resting in God's goodness. There are many things that can keep us from resting in God. But before we look at some of these hindrances, I think it's important to recognize that God is always good. And what makes his goodness, would you say, good, is that He is always good. He is never changing. And if there is something that is not good within our lives, it's not from God Himself. While He can allow things to come into your life to bring you and draw you closer to Him, those things are not of God. Let's look at fear. One thing that draws us away and keeps us from resting in God is fear and anxiety. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let us request be known unto God." Sometimes, fear and anxiety, we can tell ourselves that we're the only ones experiencing it. But I think if we have to be real here, I'm guessing that most of you at some point in your life, or some point, I'm going to say in a closer range, sometime in your week, you have experienced some kind of fear. Maybe it's the grumpy customer that you have to call back. We have to be real. Maybe it's someone you have to face, something hard you have to do. Maybe it's a bill you have to pay and you have no idea how you're going to meet it. Maybe it's the moms and not knowing on how to fit everything into their busy schedule. And it's easy to become overwhelmed by the burdens of this life. Fear is rooted in unbelief. It whispers, "What if God doesn't come through?" But fear fades when we remember the goodness of our shepherd. The world is telling us that we can't trust anyone, so you have to self-protect. You got to force your... Powers of this world says you got to protect yourself. You may be thinking here, of course you got to protect yourself from evil. But if you're self-protecting out of fear and with the mindset that you can only protect yourself, you are building a wall so thick to keep that evil out of your life, but it also keeps God from working within your heart. It doesn't only keep the evil out, but it also keeps God out. And when God's out, the evil comes in. Are you allowing the fear and anxiety to control you? If you are, you will not find rest. It's easier said than done. And I want to recognize that. Another thing that keeps us from finding rest is bitterness and unforgiveness. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Look diligent lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you." Bitterness poisons our view of God. If we believe he has wronged us or neglected us, we cannot rest in him. A heart must be tender, surrendered, and free from grudges. Got to move on from things of hindrances. The negative things, would you say? And we're going to look at a few, the fruits of resting in God's goodness. When resting in God's goodness, we will have peace that passes understanding. Isaiah 32:17 says, "And the work of the righteous shall be peace, and effect the righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." This peace is not dependent upon our bank accounts. For the men in health, and approved for an approval of others. But it comes from the knowing my Father is good. I'm safe. I'm safe in his arms. This peace makes no sense to those that are not resting in God, but it is a peace that comes from knowing that all is well with my soul. It's a peace that knowing that God will, without a doubt, carry me through the next valley that I'm facing. It is a peace that the pain of this world is only temporal, and the true life only comes later. When resting in God's goodness, we will have joy and gratitude. Psalms 100:5 says, "The Lord is good and mercy is everlasting, and in truth endureth to all generations." A restful heart becomes a thankful heart. When we're resting in God, we stop complaining about what we lack and begin rejoicing in what we have. If we're resting in him, we will be grateful for the good and the hard things that come our way. The hard things that come our way have a way of sharpening us and maturing us. And when looking at them, in God's perspective, while they are not easy, they also become a blessing to our life. When resting in God's goodness, we can have obedience and fruitfulness. Abide in me, and I in you. For without me, ye can do nothing. When we rest in God, we abide in Christ. And from that place, we can bear much fruit. Not because we try harder, but it's because we are connected to the true vine that is feeding us. So how do we continue to rest in the goodness of God? My first point under there is we need to trust in Him. I expect that we all here recognize that we have made mistakes over the years. And sometimes it seems every day that we keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. But yet in our humanity, we find almost easier to trust in ourselves, even though we continually to make those mistakes. But yet, we find it easier to trust in ourselves than to trust in God that never makes mistakes. We need to learn to trust. We need to meditate on His Word. Make it a habit to reflect on the Scriptures about God's goodness. Fill your mind with truth. Our mind does well at telling us the untruth so we need to study regularly the promises of God. Satan wants us to forget what God has and will do for you if you walk with Him. He will never leave you or forsake you. We must practice daily gratitude. When we are living under the goodness of God, we as fallen creatures can easily forget the very thing that we are enjoying. Whether it's mercy, forgiveness, or His love, we need to continually remind ourselves that what He has done for us, because the devil keeps knocking and wanting us to see the greener grass on the other side of the fence. My last thing under how do we rest in the goodness of God? We must simplify our lives. Ecclesiastes 4:6 is a very interesting verse I came across. And it says, "Better is a handful with quietness than both hands full of travail and vexation of the spirit." And I thought on that verse and looked at different commentaries on it. And it kind of spoke into my life. Am I filling my life so full that we can't even experience the goodness of God? And I put this question out to you to ponder. Do we struggle with peace and are filled with stress and anxiety because we fill our life that full that we do not recognize what God is doing every day in our life? We might say, you know what, it's all good things. I'm on 5 different committees. Okay, I'm not, but you can say, I do all these things good for the Lord. But yet, you're filling your life so full that you never recognize the grace and the peace. And stress takes over and rules your life. And you need to fill yourself. You need to surround yourself with encouragement. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." We need each other. We're not going to survive on our own. When we are weak in faith, the testimony of others can remind us that God is still good and working in our lives. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Have you tasted that goodness? Have you learned to rest in it? Maybe today you're weary. Maybe your soul has been anxious, striving, or discouraged. Jesus invites you to rest, not just from your labors, but in his love. You don't have to figure out everything in life. You're not forced to figure it out right now. You don't have to carry the weight on your own. You're invited to rest in the goodness of God. Lay down your burdens at the feet of Christ. Trust that God is good even when you don't understand. Rest in his word, his character, and his promises. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let's kneel for prayer.